The Organized Mind, Thinking Straight in the Age of Information Overload. Author, Daniel Levitin. Information in the Consensuous Mind. We humans have a long history of pursuing neural enhancement, ways to improve our brains. We train them to become more dependable and efficient allies in helping us to achieve our goals. We all strive to harness the latent power of the human brain to deliver ever higher levels of achievement, to provide an edge in a world that is increasingly competitive. Through the sheer force of human ingenuity, we have devised systems to free our brains from clutter, to help us keep track of details that we can't trust ourselves to remember. Too much information, too many decisions. Today, we are confronted with the unprecedented amount of information, and each of us generates more information than ever in human history. That information tumbles faster and faster through bigger computers down to everybody's fingertips, which are holding devices with more processing power than the Apollo mission control. Information overload affects attention. Our brains do have the ability to process the information we take in, but at a cost. We can have trouble separating the trivial from the important, and all this information processing makes us tired, which affects our attention. In fact, attention is what determines which aspects of our environment we deal with, and most of the time, various automatic subconscious responses make the correct choice about what gets through our conscious awareness. For this to happen, millions of neurons are constantly monitoring the environment to select the important things for us to focus on. These neurons are collectively the attentional filter. They work largely in the background, outside of our conscious awareness. This is why most of the perceptual detritus of our daily lives doesn't register. Or why, when you've been driving on the freeway for several hours at a stretch, you don't remember much of the scenery that has whizzed by. Your attentional system protects you from registering it because it isn't deemed important. How attention and memory work. The brain is a set of intricate overlapping networks which require the switching off of some of them so that the others might work properly. When the mind-wandering mode is turned on, our thoughts are mostly directed inward to our goals, desires, feelings, plans, and our relationship with other people. In the central executive mode, thoughts are directed both inward and outward. There is a clear advantage to being able to stay on task and concentrate, but not to entering an irreversible state of hyper-focus that makes us oblivious to a predator or enemy lurking behind the bushes, or to a poisonous spider crawling up the back of our neck. This is where the attentional network comes in. The attentional filter is constantly monitoring the environment for anything that might be important, as it enables a switch between the mind-wandering mode and the central executive mode, thereby allowing shifts from one task to another, such as when you're talking to a friend and your attention is suddenly shifted to that other conversation about the fire in the kitchen. Distinct networks in your brain can thus harbor completely different thoughts and hold completely different agendas. One part of your brain is concerned with satisfying immediate hunger, another with planning and sticking to a diet. One part is paying attention to the road while you drive, another is bebopping along with the radio. The attentional network has to monitor all these activities and allocate resources to some and not to others. Organizing our homes. What people usually mean when they say that they want to get organized is that they need to get control of their physical and psychic environments. A germane finding in cognitive psychology for gaining that control is to make visible the things you need regularly and hide the things that you don't. In organizing your living space, the goals are to offload some of the memory functions from your brain and into the environment, to keep your environment visually organized so as not to distract you when you're trying to relax, work, or find things, and to create designated places for things so that they can be easily located. Organizing our social world. How do you keep track of all those you want to connect with? One attorney recommends this practical system. When I meet someone new, I make notes, either on their business card or on a piece of paper, about where and how I met them, their area of expertise, and if we were introduced by someone, and who made the introduction. This helps me contextualize the link I have to them. I give this all to my secretary, and she types it up, entering it into my contacts list. Of course, the system gets more elaborate for people I interact with regularly. Eventually, as I get to know them, I might add to the contacts list the name of their spouse, their children, their hobbies, things we did together with places and dates, maybe their birthdays. Forming memories during sleep. It's only recently that we've begun to understand the enormous amount of cognitive processing that occurs while we're asleep. In particular, we now know that sleep plays a vital role in the consolidation of events of the previous few days, and therefore in the formation and protection of memories. Organizing information for the hardest decisions. Decision-making is difficult because, by its nature, it involves uncertainty. Cognitive science has taught us that relying on our gut or intuition often leads to bad decisions, particularly in cases where statistical information is available. Our guts and our brains don't evolve to deal with the probabilistic thinking, organizing the business world. Functional specialization within the workforce became profitable and necessary so that things wouldn't grind to a halt if that lone worker who knew how to do this one particular thing was out sick. This led to functionally compartmentalized companies, an even greater need for paperwork so workers could communicate with their bosses, and so that one division of a company could communicate with other divisions. The methods of record keeping and management style that worked for a small family-owned company simply didn't scale to these new, larger firms. Decision making throughout the hierarchy. Major decisions are usually not made by any one individual, nor by any easily defined group of individuals. They emerge through a process of vastly distributed discussion, consultation, and sharing of information. This is both a positive and a negative feature of large organizations. When they work well, great things can be accomplished that would be impossible for a small number of people to do. When communications or the exercise of competent and ethically based authority do not work well, or the optimal checks and balances aren't in place, you end up with bridge collapses, Enron, or AIG. Those in charge. Great leaders can turn competitors into allies. The on-again, off-again partnership and strategic alliance between Steve Jobs at Apple and Bill Gates at Microsoft strengthened both companies and allowed them to better serve their customers. What to teach our children? We should teach our children to be more understanding of others and other points of view. The biggest problem the world faces today, such as famine, poverty, and aggression, will require careful cooperation among people who don't know one another around the world very well, historically, and have not trusted one another. It is also important to teach our children to become lifelong learners, curious, and inquisitive. Equally important is to instill in them a sense of play, that thinking isn't just serious, it's fun. This entails giving them the freedom to make mistakes, to explore new thoughts and ideas outside of the ordinary. Divergent thinking will be increasingly necessary to solve some of the biggest problems facing the world today. Getting organized. We might unexpectedly lose a friend, a business deal, or an entire economy collapses. Yet getting organized can bring us all to the next level in our lives. We must consciously look at areas of our lives that need cleaning up, and then methodically and proactively do so, and then keep doing it every so often.